Welcome, everybody, to our UFC retrospective number 3. I am your gracious, humble, and always sexy host, Daniel Hummer. We're going to be talking about UFC 48 and 92. With me, my brother Doug.
Yo.
The jailbird Eric.
What's up?
And we're here to talk some UFC. How's everyone doing today?
Pretty good.
2 minutes ago.
We can't talk about it live, though. Yeah. But UFC 48-92, we got big stuff to get into. And Doug, before we do that, why don't you give some plugs?
Okay. Listen to Box Man and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. You stretch. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time, right after Wrestling Zone on Wednesday and Friday nights. Listen to us on Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Now, next Friday, or this upcoming Friday, Daniel is going to be out of town. So it will be a special edition of Doug's History Lesson. And it's going to, the History Lesson is going to be on a WCW mid-carder. There's a poll up right now. It's got about 10 options up there. You can vote on either Kevin Sullivan, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Flying Brian, Alex Wright, Scott Flash Norton, Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman, Steve Mongo McMichael, Big Bubba Rogers, Ernest the Cat Miller, or Lord Steven Regal, in several different Facebook groups, including Old School Wrestling, Wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and in Wrestling Umbrella. I think right now it's actually neck and neck between Kevin Sullivan and Paul Orndorff.
Okay.
And I think Big Bubba and Flying Brian aren't that far behind, but I'm not sure.
Ooh. I voted for Flying Brian. I think I did.
Well, no, I think you voted in the one group. You voted for Lord Steven Regal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
not even close, is he?
I don't vote because I really don't give a damn because I got to talk about all of them anyway. So I don't feel like the host of the show should get a chance to vote. I think that's wrong and immoral. But, all right, so listen to that. Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Listen to Daniel and I for the Unscripted Unlimited show. There will not be a show next Saturday. Obviously, Daniel's going to be out of town. As a matter of fact, the only shows that are going to be next weekend are the show on Friday night, and the show on Sunday, which is obviously Scaredy Cats, Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern time with Daniel and Mindy. Tomorrow, you guys are doing your top 10 horror movies, right?
Yes.
That'll be exciting.
What is it, top 10 horror movies?
It's going to be a fun list.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun list. And that morbid head of who knows what's going to pop up in there.
Yeah, like
yeah.
We should do a horror movie tier list, Daniel.
You guys did that already.
Remember, you were on it, Eric. You, me, and Mindy did it. It was like a year ago, though.
Oh, that's right.
We could do another one.
I said we had to do a part two, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of horror movies you guys didn't get to. But, yeah, so next week there will be a show on Friday, mainly because Eric begged me to do one.
Hey, he's dedicated. That's not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, I really didn't have it. Well, the one thing I did have planned, I could actually get done in 10 minutes. So,
yeah, cooking dinner. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Put everything in the microwave.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Some
cream. Yeah.
yeah, I was just gonna say, like,
You should just end it there, please.
All right. Is that all the plugs?
I hope so.
All right. All I will say, in two weeks, it's going to be a big slate of programming for this weekend. It's going to be the return of Settle in the Ring. Eric is going to be going against two opponents of my choosing. We're also going to be doing a UFC show that week. So we will probably have three shows on that Saturday, if that's cool with you gentlemen.
It's fine. Yep. Also, that weekend, so June 18th, which is that Friday, will be the Great American Bash 1996 retrospective.
Yeah.
Which I really wanted to do ever since, you know, we found out about Steve Mongo McMichael's ALS diagnosis.
Yeah.
And obviously we lost Kevin Green at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
Kevin Green passed away. Steve Mongo McMichael, you know, is battling ALS, and Ric Flair's got a clean bill of health. What the hell is wrong with that?
Well, Rick's been through his own shit.
Yeah.
But, and on our Unscripted Unlimited show in 2 weeks, me and Doug will be watching the much-hyped, much-talked-about superhero animated show, Invincible.
Yeah. That's going to be a busy week of you and I just watching stuff, because we got to watch the Bash, we got to watch the UFC thing, we got to watch this stuff. We have to take vacation time.
Yeah. We might watch a little of that tomorrow or even tonight.
I mean, I don't have vacation time to take, so... I might just have to piss somebody off at work and get suspended.
Or not, you know, you cannot do that. All right, let's get into it, guys.
I was kidding.
I know. 48-92. If Sharon doesn't come down, you want to do an episode of Invincible?
Sure.
All right. UFC 48-92. We're obviously going to start with 48 because that happened first. This is known for a variety of things. You see Ken Shamrock do his thing against Chemo, another badass man. They fought before. I believe Chemo won the first time.
Yeah, that was in...
Shamrock did.
Shamrock won the
first one.
No, Chemo won the first one, I thought they said.
I thought Shamrock won with an ankle lock. Let me look that up.
Yeah, he did. He did lose. Shamrock won both times. Shamrock won both times with an ankle lock at UFC 8 in 1996. Holy shit! So then this is UFC Payback in 2004, and this is what we got. Also, big fights on here: Frank Trigg, Doug's boy, against Dennis Hallman. Yeah. Frank Mir and Tim Sylvia, which we'll talk about. Matt Hughes and Verissimo,
yeah.
Evan Tanner and Phil Baroni. Also. They showed George St. Pierre and Jay Haran on the main show, even though that was prelims, right?
Because they had to fill in some time. They
didn't show all the prelims, though, right? They just showed that one?
I don't know what happened. There was 14 minutes left after the main event, so I don't know what they showed after that.
Yeah, I didn't watch after the main event.
Me neither, so.
But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the George St. Pierre fight because that was on the card. And let's actually start with this one. And I'm going to go to you first, Eric. Early George St. Pierre, you're a big fan of this guy. What did you think?
I was impressed. I mean, compared to young St. Pierre versus his more his prime, he was more of a striker in this one. He was known for his wrestling later on, and people said he was boring later on in his career. But I was impressed the way he the striking he did and knocked him down like twice, and the referee wouldn't even stop until he just kept going. And yeah, I was very impressed with a young George St. Pierre. You could see that he had a lot of athleticism. That's why he's considered one of the best of all time.
Yeah, I found his striking very, very powerful. He was powerful with his striking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kicking fucking ass, man. Lord Shane Pierre wasn't fucking around. What'd you think of this one, Doug?
I thought it was really good. I liked what I saw from George St. Pierre. This other guy, this Jay Haran.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was a quick fight, which I like the quick UFC fights because it shows, like, the dominance from the guy.
Yeah.
And George St. Pierre from, you know, this is actually, like, the first fight of his I actually watched. But, like, from hearing about him, I keep hearing how he's one of the better fighters.
Who's St. Pierre?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is one of the better fighters.
And he hasn't fought for a while, right?
No. Last time he fought, he beat, what's his name? Michael Bishman for the middleweight title.
Who's St. Pierre? Is he still fighting?
Yeah. No, he's technically not retired, but he's not fighting. I don't know. He's weird.
He goes out.
I don't think he's technically retired.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. It's funny. He's only took in two losses in his career, and both guys were actually on this card: Matt Serra and Matt Hughes.
Guy was
on the prelim. Yeah. Yeah, George St. Pierre is an absolute animal, I thought. And Haran, I mean, he ended up doing some shit, too. He got to the finals in the Bellator tournament and actually lost to Ben Askren in 2011.
Right. Well, and also, too, Haran hasn't fought since 2013.
Yeah, but he had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
Not here. St. Pierre beat the shit out of him. Now, what would we give that fight out of 10?
I'd probably give it a 6.
6, because brutal knockout, so I'd give it a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6.
All right. Now, our total gate here, guys, was $901,000, almost a milli. Buy rate, 110,000. Attendance over 10,000 people. This was a very successful event. It was more successful than Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz at UFC 47, and that was obviously a pretty anticipated fight. So this was a big one. Now, let's talk about the first match of the card that wasn't on the prelims. Evan Tanner and Phil Baroni. Now, I'll start with you, Doug, because we saw the video package to this, and these guys fought before. Tanner won before with the knees and stuff. What'd you think of these two guys?
Baroni, I think, needed to get his ass kicked because, like, the way he was walking to the ring, he had sunglasses on, he was dancing and singing to the music. It's like, all right, motherfucker, you got to go down. And that fight, though, that first fight was actually controversial, too, because wasn't he, like, the referee stopped it, but Baroni thought, Baroni said he was fine?
Well,
yeah.
The first one, yeah.
And then he went after the ref.
Yeah, he punched the ref.
Yeah. Which, this is not WWE.
The Phil guy sounds like a douchebag.
Who, Phil Baroni?
Yeah.
He is a douchebag. And he didn't really have that great of a career, too, 16 and 19.
Yeah, for a nickname of New York Badass, he's no badass.
Just took it a loss to Mr.
Fad.
Yeah. He's overrated.
Yeah. And Evan Tanner had such a dad haircut.
Yeah.
I mean,
he can blow.
I actually thought Tanner was going to lose because it looked like for a little bit that he was getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
And Baroni was going to beat him, but then he kind of came back and, well, I mean, no, he controlled like the first two rounds. I think it was actually the third round where Baroni kind of came back and, you know, we thought that was going to turn it around.
Right.
Yeah.
What I thought of that, I mean, I thought that, what's his name? Barone fought pretty well, but he looked gassed throughout the whole thing. He didn't have good conditioning, even though he said he was in better shape.
No, well, he wasn't. He obviously wasn't.
He didn't look as muscular as cut as he did in the first one either.
Right, yeah. To me, he looked like
he talked a lot of smack, too.
Yeah, he talked a lot of shit for someone that got his ass kicked. So
I talk a lot of shit.
Exactly.
I'm kicked all the time. It's mainly,
that's not good.
I'm waiting for the day, though, that Eric finally punches me in the fucking...
Me too. So, what would you give this fight, guys? I thought Evan Tanner, he did a really good job of neutralizing Phil Brody, so I'd give this probably another 6. It wasn't the most entertaining.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6.
I'd give it another 6, yeah.
All right. Next up... Matt Hughes and Verissimo.
This one was surprising to me because Matt Hughes controlled the fight, but then there was that point where Verissimo locked him in the choke, and it's just like, okay, he's going out.
Yeah, well, Verissimo is a big BJJ guy, big submission guy. So
every time you say BJJ, I always think that means something else.
Yeah, but it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
No.
Well, your mind's going to have to get out of the gutter at some point if we're going to have a UFC show.
You know what? You are asking way too much.
good job from his back, though. Matt Hughes, like, I thought the decision was, I thought Matt Hughes could have lost this fight.
He almost did.
Yeah.
He almost went out.
Like, Joe Rogan even thought that he lost. So
I didn't think it was a unanimous decision like it should have been.
It should have been a split. I love Matt Hughes. I'm a big Matt Hughes fan. This match was also pretty because it was very wrestling heavy, which I can enjoy, and a lot of the hardcore MMA enthusiasts. But if you're watching it for the knockouts and the exciting stuff, this might not be the fight for you, which it wasn't, since you were watching porn during it.
I wasn't watching.
I'm just kidding.
I was watching clips of Law and Order Organized Crime.
Same thing.
But oh, wow.
It was a boring fight, but it was still, I mean, the wrestling was good and it was kind of exciting for me to watch. So I will give this a 5.
I'm going to say
what
5.
Do you give it?
A 5.
I'm also going to give it a 5. I mean, there was a lot. Like that point where it looked like Hughes was going to lose, like that kind of had me on the edge of my seat because he was dominating and then all of a sudden he's locked in his choke and it looked like the big bastard was about ready to go out.
I'll give it a 5, too.
You give it a 5, too?
Yeah.
Did you kind of have the same thoughts? So what did you think about this fight, Eric?
I thought it was kind of boring, but it was good wrestling for him. From what's his name? Verissimo.
Verissimo, yeah.
I thought it should have been a lot closer in the judges' scorecard. I didn't think it was. I think Tulogin had 30-27, right?
Yeah.
And one had, I didn't think it was that unanimous.
No, I didn't think it was unanimous.
That's 30-27.
No. And these first two fights go the distance here. You gave it a 5-2, right, Eric?
Yeah.
Now we have 3 fights that end in the first round. Moving on to Tim Sylvia and Frank Mir. This was probably riddled in controversy, right, Doug?
Yeah. Well, all right. So Trigg had the arm or whatever, right? And he was pulling on the arm, and the referee, Herb Hebner, a break. And when a bone breaks, I guess it's in the UFC rules that when a bone breaks, you have to stop the fight. So, I mean, obviously, and it makes sense. It's not one of those, his arm's broken, I got to stop the fight, you pussy. No, it's okay, his arm's broken, he can't fucking use it. He can't really defend himself, so yeah, we got to stop this fucking thing. Now, Tim Sylvia had, and then he goes, well, I didn't feel it break. And it's just like, dude, you didn't see it, you didn't hear it pop? Everybody else saw it pop.
Yeah, and later Later it was revealed that he did he suffered multiple fractures to his right forearm.
Yeah.
And he's even said later on that that was the good for Herb Dean because that was the call that saved his career.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If he would have continued, there would have been more damage to that arm. And, I mean, how many fights there? How long would Steele be out after that fight?
How long, like, did he take off?
Yeah.
Until his next fight?
Let me see.
When that was in June 2004. He didn't fight again until December. So he took almost half a year off, basically.
Okay. I mean, well, a lot of these guys, they take, like, a few months off anyway to train, right? Because you have to... What is, and here's a serious question. I know it's rare coming from me, but how long do they do these guys usually have to take to train for this shit?
A training camp, it depends on the fight. A training camp can last anywhere between, you know, 1 to 3 to 4 months to 5 months. It depends, you know, like how big the fight is, when the fight is. I mean, but there are guys, Chuck Liddell has fought like month to month before. But you don't see it very often. So you know, month to month is
month
the most
to month is stretching it, especially with the punishment that these guys take.
You usually need at least 3 months between each.
Okay, so let's just say that Sylvia basically took like took a fight off.
Yeah, he basically took 3 months to rest and then got back in the training camp.
Okay, so that makes sense. Which also said to me that the break wasn't like as severe as it could have been.
Yeah, it was multiple fractures, but it wasn't a clean break.
Yeah.
Not like it looked. But it looked like a fucking... It looked like Frank Mir took his fucking arm off.
Yeah,
that was
and then Frank Mir had even said, he goes, look, he goes, if you wanted me to break it, I was going to break it. Like, if the referee had not stopped it, I'd be holding his arm right now.
Yeah, he was funny. He's like, just please don't boo me. I'll break his arm if you want me to fucking break it.
Yeah, because everybody was booing. He's like, guys, he goes, what do you want me to do, break the guy's arm?
He wasn't going to let go.
No. I think Herb Dean made the right call. This is the second Herb Dean call, a controversial call we've talked about. I do think the Robbie Lawler stoppage was a fuck-up. I don't think this one was. I think he made the right call, and he protected the fighter. Protect the athlete. Like JR says every week at AEW, protect the athlete. He protected the athlete.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
And again, if it's written in the rule book that if you see a break, you have to stop the fight, Herb Dean saw a break.
Or
a fracture.
Yeah.
Therefore, he did what he's supposed to do. He did what the goddamn rule book told him to do.
Yeah, he stopped the fight.
Yeah.
Even Joe Rogan, like the commentators looking at him, were like, that was the arm's broken. It's got to be fucked up. And good for Tim Sylvia. He's a warrior, you know, and the adrenaline's pumping, so he wants to keep going. But he did fracture a lot of bones in that.
Yeah, I mean, well, and here's the thing. You could be as, much of a warrior as you want. All right, you lose, and I'm assuming, is he right-handed?
Yeah.
Okay. When you lose feeling or, like, if when you lose the use, or lose the use of the arm that you use all the time, it makes it very difficult to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if it's the hand he eats with, it's the hand that he... types or writes with.
Go ahead. You're going to say that.
I'm trying not to. I am trying to take the high road here. So that's the hand he uses the most. Therefore, he has to, when you lose use to that arm, that means you have to have, people actually do shit for you.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would really be uncomfortable or really be comfortable with somebody feeding him or doing something like that or sponge bathing him. I mean, he might be okay with that. But I couldn't. The high road's not for me.
It's okay. I love Frank Mir, so it was nice seeing him do his thing. For a heavyweight, how good is his submissions, Eric?
So he's one of the best.
Hello? Can be a little more than the best.
Which one?
On Frank Mir's submission.
I mean,
special.
Yeah, I mean, he could turn anything. I mean, his wrestling is superb. I mean, when he goes on the ground, he could turn anything into an armbar, ankle lock, rear neck choke, you name it. I think most of his wins were
submission.
Let's see. Submission.
Submissions in the first round, kind of what he's known for. And it's cool for a heavyweight to see the jiu-jitsu and to see how good he is on his back and able to submit these big fucking ass. I mean, he's tapped out Brock Lesnar.
Right. But that was also Brock's first professional fight.
That wasn't his first fight, was it?
Yeah. Wasn't that his debut?
Against Frank Mir? I don't know if it was. I have to look that one up.
And Brock Lesnar, he lost to Brock.
He lost his second one to Brock. No, he beat Minsu Kim in Dynamite USA in 2007.
All right, but that was his first UFC.
Yeah, his first UFC fight was a loss to Frank Mir. All
right, but that wasn't his first MMA deal.
No.
Okay.
The second Brock fight was at UFC 100.
Yeah, and then that's when Brock smashed his face into the ground. But we don't talk about that one.
Yeah. Isn't that the one Eric's going to pick?
Probably, fucking asshole. I thought Frank Mir, you know, showed off a lot. Obviously, he showed off a little more in the second fight, which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
But overall, because of all the fucky shit, the break was cool to watch, but I'd have to give this like a 4.
I'd probably say 3.5.
I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
I mean, I know there was controversy, but the way that he just took him down and was able to put him in an armbar like that.
Yeah.
For a heavyweight, especially.
Exactly. Now we got Frank Trigg and Dennis Hallman. Doug, I'm going to throw it to you first because you're a big Frank Trigg guy.
Oh, fuck.
What do you got?
I hate bald-headed people.
Me too.
No, you hate bald-headed people.
So, like, I remember Frank Trigg a lot because he did some stuff for TNA. Because apparently he's a good buddy of Kurt Angle's. He actually looks a lot like Kurt Angle.
I was going to say that. Are they like twins?
No, I don't believe they're twins.
You remember Russell from Big Brother 11?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Russell, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, Russell was an MMA guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he lied about that. He only has one fight ever on his career, and it doesn't say what it's from, but it says it's a loss. So I don't think he's very accomplished.
Oh.
Okay, so the thing with Frank Trigg is, I always found Frank Trigg to be kind of like, I actually thought that Frank Trigg, just from the way like he always talked about and kissed Kurt Angle's ass.
Yeah.
I always thought Frank Trigg fancied the fellas. Watching this fight, I would never fucking say that to his face. Because he beat the shit out of this poor bastard.
Yeah, Dennis, the night did not go too well for Dennis Hallman. And it's interesting to put the fight after this, he actually beats that Verissimo, too.
Trigg or Hallman?
Trigg.
Okay.
And then he meets Matt Hughes for the belt the fight after that.
So Frank Trigg is a very accomplished fighter.
Yeah. He lost the title fight.
Yeah.
He can never
win that title.
But this fight to me, like, this was brutal, and just the fact that, you know, he beat the shit out of Hallman.
Yeah.
Like, I do respect Frank Trigg as a UFC fighter.
Yeah, for what he can do in the octagon.
For what he can do in the octagon, yeah. I mean, I don't really necessarily like his taste in men, but...
I like Kurt Angle.
He's a dick.
You're a dick. I like you.
Yeah. Eric's got a thing for dicks. Every friend that he – most of the friends that he has are pieces of shit. So.
Did you like Evil Dick, Eric, on season 8?
Yeah, I did. Evil Dick was awesome. I thought he was a dick. I mean, he was a dick, too.
He was a good dick.
Always got to support dicks from the bad dick.
Yeah. And the blue
dick. I mean, and obviously Evil Dick does have a bad dick now.
Oh, my God.
It's an AIDS joke. Frank Trigg and Dennis Hall.
I know, I made the joke.
I thought this was probably the best fight of the card. I'm actually giving this one fight of the night in my perspective.
I'm giving it a 9. Just because, I mean, yes, it ended in the first round, but there was a lot of action. And they did not like each other. Like, because they were saying how much Holman hated Frank Trigg. Well, I think Frank Trigg hated him a lot more. Because he pounded the shit out of this poor bastard.
Yeah, he did.
He got fucked up.
Yeah. He got fucked up bad. I mean, that's what happened. You could kind of tell that was like fake blonde hair, though, on Holman. That was a bleach job.
Yeah.
So anybody that bleaches their hair blonde should get their ass kicked.
Yeah, is that what you think?
Yeah. There was a buddy of mine that I used to work with at Target. When he bleached his hair, I actually looked at him and said, somebody should punch you in the face. He's like, why? I think, well, one, you're French. And two, you bleached your hair.
You're named after a hairspray that's way better than you. All right. I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10 as well.
I'm giving 8.
No, it was a good fight. I mean, I was not actually expecting it to be a good fight.
Yeah, no, you don't like Frank Trigg. But
yeah.
It was good.
It was.
It was the most exciting one on the card to me. I mean,
ended. The way it ended, I mean, and there was action throughout, like, the entire thing. Frank Trigg is a hell of a striker.
Yeah. Because the main event was exciting, but it was too short.
Yeah.
This, I'm cool with stuff ending in the first round, but I like it when they at least go a few minutes first. So I'm giving this 9 out of 10.
Exactly. Now, the prelims, though, like this was a...
No. Yeah, that was on the actual card.
Okay. Well, I don't remember it being advertised in the beginning, though.
Yeah, me either, but it was.
Yeah, it never did. That was weird. And this was a cool main event.
Yeah, it was.
Weird, too. That
it was
title
over
fight
the
even
title fight. Yeah. It was,
yeah.
It was
weird that they how they had the card.
Yeah. It's kind of a good thing, though, because if they would have ended on the Frank Mir Tim Sylvia thing, that
would have fucking... Like, everybody would be fucking chasing after Dana White with fucking pitchforks and torches wanting their money back.
All right, next up, we got Kimo. My boy, Leopoldo. Age 53. Well, now he is. He wasn't then. Going against Shamrock. We all know Shamrock. You love Shamrock, Doug. If you saw Shamrock right now, you'd probably massage his back for him. What did you think of this fight?
I thought you were going to say something else. Anyway. Before I go too far, again.
You can do that.
Yeah. I've never done that before. Shamrock, I liked Shamrock when he was in the WWF.
Yeah.
I really didn't know much about, like, his MMA career. But, I mean, he really is a legendary MMA fighter. But I think it was – you and I had actually talked about this the other day. He would kind of be, like, the face of UFC right now, or talked about as, like, one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time. The problem is that he wasn't really a good businessman.
No, he was a terrible businessman, and he was a dick from what I've heard. And he's kind of told Dana White to fuck himself a few times, too.
Oh, everybody should tell Dana White to go fuck himself.
I know, but he's told other people to
I've
fuck
himself. I've told Dana White to go fuck himself on this show.
You're not a fighter. And he's known for burning a lot of bridges, and also probably a lot of the losses that he took in later. Because he took a lot of fights. Like Shamrock, let me pull up his record. Because Shamrock has taken at least He's 28 wins, 17 losses. And if you just look at the losses throughout the last 10 years, not all of them happened in the UFC, but it's obvious that he should have probably stopped.
Well, when was the last time he fought in UFC?
That was UFC against Ortiz, Tito Ortiz in 2006, because they had the trilogy, and Tito was like,
I don't even know how he had on could fight. I guess it was just a rivalry.
Yeah, and Teal kicked his ass all three times. So a lot of that, because I mean, I've read articles that it's like Shamrock should be the guy. He should be the Ric Flair of UFC. He should be the guy they bring out before every fight, and you have him, you know, chant or whatever, and do a speech.
Yeah,
and you call it. But a lot of the, you know, the way he's, you know, done dealing. And I don't know Shamrock personally, and I love Shamrock, so I don't want to talk shit about him, but that's just what I've heard.
Well, even the way he left wrestling, too, really wasn't...
Yeah, he's a big bridge burner.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to wrestle Chris Jericho at a pay-per-view back in 99, and he went to Vince because they were actually going to schedule it to where Jericho was actually supposed to beat him at that pay-per-view, I think. And he went to Vince, like, a couple days prior on SmackDown, and he's just like, let's do a fucky finish here. I'm not going to do the pay-per-view. And he left. Even the way he left TNA, because it was even after this one, he hurt his knee here, right? Like, you and I had even, quit flipping me off.
You spit on the thing.
Oh, okay. When he hit that knee, he actually fucked up his knee.
Yeah.
He was supposed to win the NWA title. Vince Russo said, look, you're going to win the NWA title from Jarrett in this gauntlet thing. But when he went to TNA, he actually told them, he said, hey, just so you know, I fucked up my knee. And Jeff Jarrett looked at that as, oh, good, I don't have to drop the title. Because the only way Jeff Jarrett would actually drop a title is if he threw it on the ground. But, they had to basically rewrite. Instead of, you know, Shamrock, winning the title, instead they just had him turn heel. But Shamrock is just, again, not a good businessman, like you said. How far in advance did he know about this fight?
He was trained and well prepared, though.
Right. Because I'm just trying to think, too, is like, how the hell could... They shouldn't have booked him to win the NWA title this close to this fight.
Well, yeah, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think. I'm pretty sure they were pissed at him. Well, Jeff Jarrett wasn't. But I'm pretty sure they were pissed at him for what happened.
So this fight wasn't too much. It was known for the knee. What are you going to give it?
Yeah.
I thought it was. I'm giving it a 7 because the knee was exciting.
It was.
Yeah. And he thought the referee stopped it. We couldn't stop it yet.
But
see, he stopped fighting.
I'll give it a 5.
After that knee.
What are you giving there?
I'm giving it a 7.
All right. So that's what we got. What are we going to give 48 overall? As we're moving on to 92.
I'd give it a solid 7.
I would, too. I mean, the fight of the night, obviously, like we said, is Frank Trigg and Holman.
Yeah. I'd probably say Pierre, even though that was preliminary.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I thought this
was... That was my
favorite
fight.
I'll give it a 7 as well. It was nice to see Shamrock do his thing. A little bit of Frank Mir, Frank Trigg and Matt Hughes, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good card. I mean, this 92 was a lot better.
Yeah, that. I was excited to talk about. So, UFC 92, the Ultimate 2008, total gate 23 mil?
Yeah, that is a million.
23 mil. Attendance over almost 15,000 people, buy rate a mil. This did very well.
Yeah, because if you look at it, for anybody that doesn't know math, and trust me, Eric and I are not really good that good at math either, and we've made sure to teach our kids not to be good at math. So you have, you know, the three columns here. So it's 23,468,440. Because if it were in the thousands, it would just be the two columns. But with three, and if like they get to the billion, you know, for every like higher dollar amount, there's a new like comma in front. That is the only math lesson I will ever teach on this show.
I was happy with it.
Eric, this is why we had to homeschool the kids. Actually, no, there's a reason not to homeschool.
But okay.
So let's get into 92 here. Do you know the whole deal with the interim heavyweight championship, Eric? Because I still don't completely understand it.
I think Brock might have been injured. Was he injured at the time?
Was it that?
I don't know why they. He might have. Because I don't get why they just didn't have the rematch right away.
I mean, because they did.
And he wasn't in
the UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how Nogueira won the interim title.
Yeah, I think it's because of the diverticulitis.
It might have been, yeah. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah, it was announced during UFC 79 broadcast that Nogueira will be fighting former longtime champion Tim Sylvia at UFC 81 for the interim heavyweight title. So it was supposed to be Sylvia.
Because I know the heavyweight belt got vacated and they had to do an interim title in 2005, not too long after this, because that's when Frank Mir got in his motorcycle accident.
Right.
But that's fine. We don't have to get into that too much. But this fight is known for – this card is known for that because you got Nigeria – or but Antonio versus Frank Mir for the interim title. You got – Sugar, Rashad Evans, the undefeated challenger against Forrest Griffin. For the first time that two winners of the Ultimate Fighter fought against each other.
Yeah.
Forrest Griffin won season one, Rashad won season two. And obviously we got the rubber match between Wanderlei Silva and Quentin Rampage Jackson. Let's start with the first match on this fucking card. You ready, Doug?
Yeah.
All right. Czech Congo.
Yep.
The man, the myth, the legend, badass, goes against Mustafa Al Turk. What did you think of this one, Doug? It was brutal.
It was fucking brutal. And the fact that he almost caved Mustafa's skull in. Like those elbows or forearms or whatever the fuck, those things were fucking brutal. And he got busted open and it was like, it was ugly.
Yep.
I mean,
that
image was uglier than me in a thong.
It was like his face was turned into a watermelon. Like, you don't see a lot of times blood from punching, right? But he's just fucking like, oh my God, he fucking devastated him.
I mean, you do see it sometimes. Yeah. Like, people are really punching the shit out of each other.
Yeah. But it was weird the way, I don't know if he cut the eye or what happened, but.
I don't know, but.
It was just splurting.
I believe it was on the forehead.
But it was fucking nuts. He just beat the absolute shit out of him. Turned him into a water belt. Chicago, absolute beast. You agree, Eric?
Oh, yeah. I mean, back in the day, he was probably one of the best heavyweights, probably. I don't think he's ever got a title shot, but he was beast in there. He could go.
Yeah,
he was 15-13-11. He was a kickboxing specialist, too.
He's still fighting, by the way, guys.
Oh, he is? Wow.
Well, he fought in Bellator.
He's in Bellator?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Chuck Congo is still fighting, and he's still pretty successful. I mean, his last fight was a loss, but...
It looked like he won, like what, however many in a row?
Yeah, like he had an 8-match win streak, basically. He was pretty good. He never fought for a world title, which is weird, in the UFC.
You would think that
he'd
be
Bellator, happy. He did.
Yeah, Bellator.
Yeah, UFC, he never did.
Great fight.
Jake Paul should go with him.
Oh, I would love that. Fucking destroy that little bitch. All right. I'm giving this one to 8 out of 10 for how brutal and awesome it was. And I'm
going to say 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 8. He dominated this fight. It was fun to watch.
Not if you're
very impressive.
He's half his relatives. Unless it's a relative that does.
I mean, this is a knockout card, though. They're TKOs, too, but this is a brutality type. No fight on this card went the distance, except for prelim.
Yeah.
So this is a brutal fucking card, and I really enjoyed this one. Let's move on. One of my favorite fighters of all time. This fight, this card has two of my favorite fighters of all time, Frank Mir and, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, one of the funniest dudes you'll ever see, Quentin Rampage Jackson. Again.
Former member of TNA's Main Event Mafia.
Yes. I love Rampage. Yep. Going against
and he also went to Bellator.
Yes, he did go to Bellator.
Yeah, that's actually how he ended up in TNA. It's because TNA actually had the working relationship with Bellator.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes, they did.
Is he still fighting?
Is a badass. But probably known as one of the bigger UFC busts of all time, because he's really known for his work in Pride. I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah.
I've never seen Pride.
But you've heard.
I mean, I've seen Pride Parade.
Okay.
But
this was badass. Silva, once he got to the UFC, he wasn't as good as he used to be, but he was a beast in Pride, and he actually beat Rampage twice in Pride. Now, this was the rubber match,
yeah.
And Jackson finally got his revenge. What did you think of this one, Eric?
I was surprised at the knockout, the way he knocked him out. Before this, Nogueira never got knocked out in this grip. So, for Rampage to do that and then finally get the monkey off his back against one of his biggest rivals, it's impressive. And knockout itself was pretty impressive.
That right hook was badass, too. That got him knocked out.
I think it was actually right after this, too, he actually landed the role in the A-Team.
I forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah.
He kind of knocked him, Chuck Liddell out. That's how he won the title out. That was the same punch, but similar, he said.
Yeah,
when he was in, it was funny, he was in the A-Team, he played B.A. Baracus, and when they guest hosted Raw, like, he's the toughest guy, like, in that group, right? You had him, you had the guy who played Murdoch, or I can't remember the actor's name, and you had Bradley Cooper, and yet Rampage was the guy that all the old-timers kidnapped.
Wow.
Because Roddy Piper actually thought he was Mr. T.
They actually fought again. fought again at Bellator.
Yep.
So they're actually tied 2-2.
All right, we need to book this rubber
and
match.
Then,
like, not in any arena in the country. It's right here in the living room.
I'd watch it.
I give this 7.
I give this an 8. That hook was badass.
I'd agree with you and give it.
All right, let's move on, gentlemen. CB Dalloway versus Mike Mesenzio. This was actually a pretty interesting fight. CB looked like he was fucking taking the L, but he had a comeback. What did you think of this one, Doug?
I thought that this was a really – I mean, I'm trying to kind of remember it, even though we just watched it last night. But I do remember CB kind of, you know, taking some shots, but he just kind of came back and, you know, fucking – he let him have it after.
Yeah.
CB is a pretty badass guy.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good fight.
I mean, and I get with the controversy and a lot of people. I don't think there was any controversy to this fight, though. He was on top of him, punching him in the head over and over again, and the guy didn't move.
Yeah.
The referee has every, you know.
When you're not moving, that pretty much means you're out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because didn't Mesenzio or whatever got right up after.
Yeah, he got up after and started bitching, but he wasn't moving when he was getting punched.
Yeah.
What do you want the ref to do? I would have called it. I don't blame the ref for calling it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. In these kinds of fights, when the referee said, now I can understand, like, if you're getting choked out or whatever, and the guy has his fucking, arm like across your windpipe and you can't breathe, therefore you cannot talk.
Yeah. Like what happened with Long.
Right. I can understand, you know, there being controversy there because the guy can't answer you. But you can technically still talk when a guy's beating the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So if the referee says, and you continue, and you go about 5-10 seconds without answering, like, you're done.
It's time.
Yeah. I think you have 15 seconds, or I would say between 15 or about 10, 15 seconds to answer before, you know, the referee's just like, fuck it, I'm calling it.
So this is probably my least favorite fight on the card, but it was still enjoyable, so I give it 6 out of 10.
I'll say 7.
I'll give it a 6.5. It wasn't my favorite either.
Yeah, but it was a good fight. CB Dalloway sounds like a
good
one.
Yeah. He didn't look like one, though.
No. All right, next up, my fight of the night. My boy, Frank Mir. It was a lot better to see this fight than the first one that we covered, because this is Frank Mir at his best. But also, this isn't a submission Frank Mir. This is him boxing and showing the – and first of all, Nogueira, he does not fuck around. He is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. This man has gone 34-10. He is a pride legend, and he's even done a lot in the UFC too. I mean, he's beat Randy Couture. You know, he does not. He's a badass. But Frank Mir outboxed him. You know, hit him with the old one too, and eventually TKO'd him. This is my fight of the night, and I give this an 8 out of 10, or 9 out of 10.
I'm gonna say 8.5. I like this fight too, and Frank Trigg, like. And you can understand. Mir?
Yeah, you said Trigg.
I did say. All right.
It's okay.
They don't even look alike. But Frank Mir, he's one of those like guys. And you can understand why they got him to do the boxing thing a couple months ago.
Yeah. He's got good hands.
Yeah. It was such an even fight, but then you have that point where, you know, he knocks the guy on his ass and then, you know, hits him with a couple more shots, and the guy was out.
Yeah, and this one, too, rough. Nogueira had only been knocked down 5 times in his whole career. It had never been finished up to this point. That's 10 years of fighting.
Yeah, up to this point, never finished, always went the distance.
Yeah.
And I find it funny when people say that, because, like, once somebody, like, points that out and points it out, like, vigorously, then that it happens.
Yeah, and Mir knocked him down twice before the knockdown that finished him.
Yeah.
So he ended this fight with 8 knockdowns. Coming in 5, ended with 8. And he got finished for the first time. So
yeah.
Frank Mir fucking showed him that he's the man.
Right. And here's the funny thing. Like, you know, I know everybody makes fun of WWE, including Dana White, makes fun of WWE for being staged, right?
Yeah.
You cannot make fun of this for – you cannot say that this is staged. The punishment that these guys take, and I have a whole new respect for them. I mean, I think their president is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, a lot of presidents are pieces of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, look at the one we had ruling us for 4 years.
Yeah. Cool.
Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Even though him and I are a lot alike, except for I refuse to wear a toupee. I refuse to wear a toupee, and
wow.
I don't cover myself with Cheetos.
Okay. Do you like this fight?
Yeah.
It was nice because I know Frank Mir is a submission specialist, and it was nice seeing him do something else. What did you think, Eric?
Yeah, it was nice to see a different side of Frank Mir and show his side of that he can knock people out. And I wanted to correct myself that it was Nogueira that never got knocked out, not Silva.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There you go, Doug. And it's funny, as a Frank Mir fan, too, him pointing at Brock Lesnar after and saying, "You got my belt," and they're hyping that up. And I was like, "No!" Because I know what happened.
Yeah, they're just like, "Don't let it happen." If you had a fucking time machine.
If I had a time machine, I'd go to Frank and tell him to fucking, you know, you have a cold. Stay in something. Don't fight the big bastard. You get your ass kicked.
They should have had Brock Lesnar come in the cage and push him.
Well, that's what he did to DC.
Yeah, I know. And they never had fought.
No.
It's amazing how young Brock looked back at that fight.
Yeah, he did look young. Well, he was actually a pretty good UFC fighter.
If he stayed off the gas.
Yeah, he's took some big losses, but he is pretty good. All right. Did you give this a rating, Eric?
I'm trying to give it a 7. I'll give it a 7.5.
Okay. I'll give it a 9, you give it an 8.5, Doug. Let's move on to the main event of the evening. This kind of sold the fight. This went 3 rounds. We had Forrest Griffin and Rashad Evans. I thought this was really good, really exciting. Obviously, this was towards the end, so we were falling asleep. But I watched it again today, Doug, and I really enjoyed it.
This actually was really good. And I was trying to, you know, I was trying to kind of stay awake.
Yeah.
And, like, well, first of all, I was actually staying awake by poking fun at you for starting to fall asleep. So, thank you. But what was funny about this fight was at the beginning, like, in the beginning, like, video promo. And Forrest Griffin going, you know, Rashad Evans, great, and one of the best fighters out there. Well, guess what? Even the best fighters need to get knocked out.
Well,
guess what the fuck happened there, Forrest?
You got
knocked. Yeah. See, he couldn't pull a Gump and run away.
It's crazy Forrest hasn't fought since 2012 because of his big ACL injury.
Oh, he's in the UFC Hall of Fame, though, right?
Yeah, he is. He's in the UFC Hall of Fame. Deservedly so.
And what's actually funny, though, is that, like, a lot of these people that get inducted into UFC, like into the UFC Hall of Fame, they only have to, you know, fight for like a couple of years.
Yeah, it depends on what they do. I mean, he had fought for more than a couple of years, though.
Well, Ronda Rousey got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and she only had what, like 7-8 fights?
Yeah, but she was also kind of the premier female when they first started that division, so.
Yeah, she was the face of that women's division for at least 5 years.
And female fighting had just started around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you see females in the UFC till what, 2014, 2013?
I think it was 2013, because I remember, like, when she first started her UFC or MMA career, it was in Strikeforce.
Yeah.
And nobody thought.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, really gave her a shot.
and, you know, she won the Strikeforce belt. And, you know, everybody said she didn't belong in the UFC. And here she is. She went into the Hall of Fame. And trust me, I really don't like
it.
The Rousey.
As much as I shit on Rousey, too, I give her credit that she carried that women's division for, what, 5 years? At least five plus years. She paved the way for Amanda Nunes and all the women after.
Yeah.
So, but this fight was bad.
That's probably last time
I'll give it this one an 8 out of 10. I thought Rashad Evans, both of these guys were punching with all their money.
Yeah.
You know, it could have gone either way.
It could have.
Yeah.
I was expecting Forrest to win.
Yeah, I don't think anyone dominated the fight. It was pretty much a lucky shot at the end that got it.
It was a lucky shot at the end. Had this thing gone 5 rounds, Forrest probably would have won via split.
He could have, yeah. It was just a really well-fought fight.
Yeah.
So I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give it an 8 as well.
Eric?
I'll give it 8.5. It was my favorite fight of the night. So.
Okay, that was his favorite. And the card as a whole, I'm giving 9 out of 10 because this is my favorite thing I've watched so far that we've done.
Yeah, this is probably one of the better cards you had shown me.
I was thoroughly entertained throughout the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was late, too, and we were tired. And
We were tired because we had worked all day. We did a show.
And then we went to dinner.
Went to dinner, and, you know, eating takes a lot out of us.
Yeah, and I got drunk.
Yeah. I know you were getting drunk. You got a little too feely with me, my friend. yeah.
I was trying to fight him during the show.
Yeah. Like, he got a little too tired. See, here's the thing. When he starts touching me, then you know that he's not a big touch guy.
So what are you giving this card, Eric?
I'll give it a 9, 9, 10. Probably my second favorite.
I'm giving a 9 out of 10 as well.
Okay. Before we move on, in 2 weeks when we return, we're going to be doing 2 more shows. I think, should we stick to two a show?
We can.
Yeah.
Also remember, though, too, we are going to have a lot to watch that week.
Yeah. Well, we have 2 weeks to do it, though. We can watch a little bit this week. And
you know what? That is true. So I'll go fuck myself.
Okay, cool.
All right, vibrator.
Eric, and if we decide not to, we can just do one of them. Who gives a fuck? They'll understand.
Yeah.
Eric, what are the 2 shows you want to do?
This is going to feature my favorite fight of all time, PJ Penn, legend, the man, the myth, the legend, PJ Penn, UFC 48, 46. It's Matt Hughes when he won the welterweight title.
Yes.
And then UFC 107 against Diego Sanchez, which was for a title too, for the lightweight title. So, yeah.
So 46
so,
and
that
46
featured,
and what?
107.
Okay.
And both cards featured Frank Mir, Daniel.
Ha-ha! Now, ooh, versus Chet Congo.
Yep.
Frank Mir and Chet Congo is on that card.
Oh, shit. make sure you have... Eric, make sure you write that down, because you know damn well in 3 days we're going to ask you again. I can almost guarantee you that's going to happen.
And this card featured Randy Couture and Victor Belfort.
No, it didn't.
46.
Oh, 46. Yeah.
That's what I meant. 46. Yeah. Another man that missed the lesson.
Couture?
Yeah.
Greatest heavyweight of all time. Oh, Frank Mir's on both cards. You're preaching to me now,
yeah.
Bro.
He knows who's bred the butter.
It features both our favorite fighters. And some other legends.
All right, and we got all
that. Oh, George St. Pierre's on this, too.
And we have all that and more to look forward to in the future. But before that, I want to wish everyone have a good night and enjoy your Saturday, guys.
Saturday's almost
over. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. See you tomorrow. All right, Daniel and Mindy, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Eric and I, of course, do not work on Sundays. I was gonna.
I don't care about nothing.
Eric, when they come to arrest you, take your butt shut.
Roll another blunt. Yeah.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, 'cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out.